Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio, a very special Night 1 WrestleMania review show. We're having terrible trouble with Blog Talk Radio, folks. We're not even sure our connections are working very well. It's very tough to hear. So we're going to try our best to get through this. Not sure what's happening with the technical department here in Blog Talk Radio, but it's absolutely abhorrent. And it really needs to change. Anyway, folks, I'm going to do something that I really normally do not do on this show. And that is, I'm going to give you my rating right at the very beginning. And the reason will be self-evident when we get into talking about the various matches, why I did that. And yes, we are going to go into our predictions for night two as well. So we got a busy, busy show. This WrestleMania night one was an A-plus show. Almost an A-plus show. I'm going to say an A-minus show. I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked at how well they pulled this off. Now, we're going to talk about the various reasons why it's an A-minus show, at least in my opinion, and I'll get everyone else's opinions on it. But I can tell you this right now. This was one of the most entertaining WrestleManias, at least night one, that I've seen in a very, very, very long time. Now, we started off, of course, with the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. And this, unfortunately, was not a good match. But it was through no fault of the people who were in it. There was a moment in the match where Rick Boogs, who already had one Uso on his shoulders, bent down to attempt to do a maneuver where there were going to be both Usos on his shoulder. If you watch very carefully, you will see, and I'm not sure whether it was Jimmy or Jay, attempt to get onto the middle of his back, which balances out your weight, and he slid. And when he started to slide, all the weight shifted. And when the weight shifted, Rick Boogs' knee buckled. And unfortunately, that was about it. We hear he's going to be out 6 months, possibly longer. So that's a shame. The match had to end relatively quick. And, you know, it happens. You can't blame anyone for this match. So even though I wouldn't say this was a stellar match, I still think the same team won that was going to. I don't think they changed anything except possibly who got pinned. And, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to kill them for this match, Mike. It's a shame what happened to Rick Boogs, however.
Yeah, it's a shame what happened to Rick Boogs because think about this. He is starting to grow on me. That guy's starting to grow. We know what he is. He's a power wrestler and stuff like that. And, you know, he doesn't need to do much to be effective in the ring. I mean, power slam, suplexes, you know, things of that nature. Whatever they call that finishing maneuver he does, he doesn't need to do much to be effective because he's a power guy. Power guys don't need to be. And he before this injury, he was slowly developing. You know, he could have been that guy. You know, he could have been a breakout guy. Now, when he comes back, what will they do with him? I got to see. But yeah, you're right. First off, I'll give you my grade, and I'll give it a little bit better than that. I'm not gonna take off for what happened with Boogs because it could have happened to anybody. Right? So yeah. My grade is going to be an A. My grade is going to be just a flat A. All right?
Okay. Yep. Fair enough. Todd, again, I don't think I took off the minus, though, for the Boogs match. If anything, I took off the minus for the next match. But, Todd, what's your thoughts on this? It's a shame, you know, but I guess they did the best they could.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when I noticed something last night where why Rick Boogs is not in the ring, out longer than he was expected to be out in the ring. Like, something's going on here. Like, I thought maybe this was part of the act. Found out it was not part of the act. I was like, oh, my God, he's getting carried out by medical staff. And it's like, this is not right.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame anytime that happens, Tom. But, again, you can't kill for that. I mean, these things are going to happen. They ended the match as best as they could. So we really can't, you know, blame them for that.
No, for sure. You're absolutely correct. I initially, when I was watching, I really thought that he went down too easy. I thought it was a work, almost like they were going to use it as a reason for him and Nakamura to split up, because I thought that was something that was inevitable. But after we had our discussion, I watched it again, and I see where you're saying that the weight was shifted and he really went down, and it's 100% legit. It's a shame. Because like Mike said, he was kind of starting to grow on me like a fungus. And, you know, he doesn't really need to do all that much in the ring to be effective. And he's kind of growing on the fans too. So, I mean, he was over. It's a shame he's going to be out for so long. And what are they going to do with Nakamura at this point? Because that was his entrance.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's trying to impress. He's trying to do all the big power moves, and maybe just went one too far with that. Anyway, the next match we have, of course, Baron Corbin, or Happy Corbin, takes on Drew McIntyre. And look, this was there was nothing wrong with this match. It wasn't like, okay, they screwed the match up, or it was terribly boring, or anything like that. But it just felt like it was a plain television match. It didn't really feel like a WrestleMania match to me. That's why I gave it the minus, because there was nothing special about this. There was no swerve. I thought maybe Happy Corbin was going to turn on Madcap Moss. That didn't happen. Or vice versa. That didn't happen. There was no real other storyline to it. And you wasted the most protected move in the WWE by having Drew McIntyre kick out of the End of Days. Now, if you are going to have Drew McIntyre kick out of the End of Days, it's got to be real. It's got to be something. It's got to be super, super important. And their feud was not super, super important. I would not have wasted that, oh, my God, moment of somebody kicking out of the End of Days on this feud. That's my one gripe with this match. Just don't use that at the End of Days. Save it. Save somebody kicking out of it for when it really, really, really matters. And I don't think it mattered that much in this match. This match was fine, but it wasn't anything special and didn't really feel like a WrestleMania match. I'd love to know how they did the rope thing, though, because those ropes are cables. And I don't know how the hell they did the thing where he supposedly cut the ropes with the sword. That was kind of cool. But aside from that, Mike, I think they wasted the End of Days finisher on a feud that really just wasn't that important.
Yeah, I think they did too. And that's the thing. I mean, he has several different things that he uses for finishers, and they could have used one of the other finishers for that, right? So, yeah, yes. I can see why you gave it a minus for this match, you know. But the rest of the card, and we'll get around to that, the rest of the card was just so damn good. I wasn't going to take off a minus for this boring match or whatever. You know, I wasn't going to take off the minus for this match.
Yeah, now this is where WrestleMania, however, really takes off. In my opinion, we had Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair. And, you know, early in the pre-show, Jerry Lawler had said, Becky Lynch is going to debut a new look, and it's really different and unique, and you're not going to recognize her. And I said, yeah, whatever. She's cut her hair. Actually, she has really debuted a new look, and I like it. She's still a little thin to look like that ass-kicking whatever, but I like the new look. It's a hell of a lot more conducive to being a heel than what she had before. And I got to tell you, and I know this is going to be controversial, I think this was the best women's match I've seen in probably 2 or 3 years. I really believe it. There was not one bit of this match that looked like it was choreographed. I would want, well, I don't care whether you're male or female, I want people to take a look at this match. Workers, to take a look at this match and understand why this match was fantastic. It was fantastic because it never felt forced. It was fantastic because it never felt phony. It was fantastic because it never looked choreographed. It was smooth. They went from one segment to the other without hesitation, without anything looking like, well, why would you do that or that? Doesn't that stupid? Everything made sense. Everything was logical. And it always looked like they were fighting and not dancing. It always looked like they were in a fight. And I'll be honest with you. I did not know who was going to win. I did predict Bianca Belair on this show, but there were times when I said, she's not winning this. They've debuted Becky Lynch's new look. They're going to press it. It's going to be, something's going to change. They're not going to do this. And I thought that these two women stole the show. This was, in fact, the best match of WrestleMania Night 1. By a long shot. And that's saying something because there are a couple of really other good matches we're going to be talking about. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is my favorite women's match in a couple of years, Tom, and I think they really, really, really lit it up.
For sure. They stepped it up. I was I'm not going to say I was surprised, Marcus, because Becky Lynch is a great worker. Bianca Belair's really come into her own. She's over like Rover. The new look I am going to comment on, I thought it was awesome. It did have a very familiar, maybe it was just me, and I really thought that something was going to happen, but it really had a familiar look, almost like she was mimicking Asuka, because Asuka has that same, almost that same glow under her eyes with the makeup that she wears. So it shocked me that they didn't get Asuka involved, considering the circumstances in which Becky left. But that would have been the moment to do so, but this match was unbelievably good and possibly I think it was the best match on the card, bar none.
Yeah, Mike, this was, in my opinion anyway, the match of the night.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for that because I think there's a certain other match that the way it was booked could possibly make it the best match of the night. But again, you might very well be right about that. And look, when what happened later on in the night with her husband. I'm thinking, okay, they're going to flip them both at some point.
Yeah, it's very, very possible. This match, though, this is the throwback. This is exactly what I've been trying to tell wrestling fans for a long time on here, is you need to get to matches like this, matches that look like there's a real competition taking place in the ring and not stupidity. Now, I know a lot of AEW fans are going to say, well, that's why we like AEW. No, because people don't take 500 super kicks to the face. That doesn't look real. It just looks staged and phony and dumb. Yes, there are times in AEW where they do this as well, but not this well. I have to agree with Paul Heyman after watching this WrestleMania when Paul Heyman said, there's nothing wrong with AEW. There's nothing wrong with their workers. But they can't put this on. They literally could not put on what we're about to put on. Last night, what the WWE put on, AEW cannot do. Not yet. Maybe one day they will, and I'll be happy. But not yet. No way. Now, the WWE's video department did a really good job. I wish that they had built the feud up the way they chopped it up to sound. Because when they did the preamble to why Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair hate each other so much, that was exactly what we said they should be doing. Playing on Becky Lynch came back and was a little bit jealous of Bianca's success and everything. They really didn't delve deep enough into that. Tiny bit, but not enough. But boy, did they deliver. They both delivered. They both can be very proud of themselves today because that was indeed, Todd, a WrestleMania effort, in my opinion.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was one of the... That match actually stole the show, actually, Last time we saw a match actually that stole the show was WrestleMania 3 with Savage and Steamboat. It reminds me of that match.
Yeah, I mean, they did. They just lit it up. They lit it up. And we get to The Miz and Logan Paul and Dominic and Rey Mysterio. And I got to tell you, I don't know who Logan Paul is much, but I'm going to give him credit. I had no idea that he would be able to perform to the level he was able to perform. Logan Paul could potentially be another Miz in the sense that he's not a wrestler. He's more of a, I'm selling myself on a reality show or I'm selling myself on a podcast or whatever the hell it happens to be. But I don't know if I've ever seen anybody who's more of a natural heel. And he has a lot of athletic ability. He didn't just get in there and kick and punch. He did the Three Amigos. He did a frog splash. If anything, he needs to work on. And again, if he was a wrestler making his debut and he was going to be full-time, then I would critique him harder and say, yeah, you need to work on your selling. Your selling is not good. But for a celebrity to just walk out into a ring and do that, that's impressive. That's impressive. Bad Bunny is a better seller, but Logan Paul's a better wrestler. I believe that. I absolutely 100% believe that, because while Bad Bunny does some flying things and things that mostly involve making the other guy do your work, hold you, you know what I mean? They you're not doing the majority of it. You're getting your body in place and the other guy's balancing you and doing whatever. Logan Paul went at it. And he looks sort of, I mean, he's big enough and he looks the part. Here's my problem with this match. If you were going to have anybody turn on anybody, it probably should have been Logan Paul on The Miz, because he was getting natural heat. That is a bad guy. That is a heel. I don't know if anybody's going to root for against The Miz. I really don't. He's just a natural heel. He's a guy that he just has one of those personas that you just want to see get beat up. And I think they might have made a mistake there. But Mike, he far out exceeded my expectations. I had no idea he was training that hard for this. He came off looking real good.
He came up looking almost as good as Stephen Amell did. Remember, Stephen Amell, he got into the ring and he surprised us at how good he was. Now, he's an actor and all that stuff, but as far as being an athlete, you know, when he got into the ring against Cody, he surprised us. And this is a surprising thing, this guy. Now, granted, he's supposed to be an athlete, he boxes or whatever it is, which is totally different, you know, totally different from professional wrestling, but he boxes, he's an athlete, he does this, he does that. I mean, he's much like, I would say, Pat McAfee in the fact that he's basically a reality star, a podcast star, whatever. And I don't want to say his days are long, his wrestling, his athletic days are long behind him. But in Pat McAfee's case, yeah, you might say that McAfee was a all-pro punter, all right,
right,
in the NFL. He was an all-pro punter, so he was a decent athlete, and that's why I think that that match could very well be a good match when it happens. But this guy, this Logan Paul, if he wants to sign with the WWE, I wouldn't, and become a wrestler full time, you know, I wouldn't be too adverse to that.
No, and I'll go one step farther. I think he was better than Stephen Amell, because Stephen Amell, he good, he didn't have the face expression, the playing a face who was doing his best. I mean, he's up on the ropes doing the Eddie Guerrero shoulder shrug and really working the audience and getting them mad. And I'm saying, hey, this guy actually kind of gets it. I don't know, man. I didn't know who really was until yesterday. But, yeah, he could be – I think he could do that. Now, I don't know if his body's going to be able to do that full time. I don't know. Or I don't even know he has any interest. But I'll tell you this. I'll give credit where credit is due. He took it serious. I thought he was going to be a joke. I thought he was going to be a guy who was going to get tagged in, kick somebody, punch somebody. The minute they tried to fight back, he'd tag the Miz, act like a chicken shit heel. He did not do that. He did not do that. He brought it, so I have to give him credit, Tom. He did a very, very good job, I thought.
I take nothing away from him athletically, but I honestly could have done without this match only because the Miz should not have been the one to turn on Logan Paul. Logan Paul should have really turned on him because people really legitimately hate Logan Paul. I hate Logan Paul. I think he's a sissy. I didn't know who he was until yesterday. And he's a YouTube sensation. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't care. And where do you go from here? So the Miz turned on him. So this guy is going to be a full-time wrestler. What do you do with the Mysterios from here? So I think it was kind of ill-advised that you turned the Miz on Logan Paul. The Miz has natural heat too, but Logan Paul was pretty much scooping that heat from the Miz last night. You should have turned Logan Paul.
I would have rather seen that, even if it meant turning the Miz face, because I think the fans will side with the Miz over Logan Paul. Just because Logan Paul has a natural heel persona. I just don't know, something about him that just screams heel. It doesn't scream face. But he did an excellent job, Todd. I was really, really impressed with how serious he took it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, he did a pretty good job last night. And like you said, I thought he was going to be one of those chicken shit heels too, and do a kick or a punch and just get out of the ring. But he could hang with guys like Rey Mysterio and Dominic to wrestle.
And he took some moves. Now, he's not the world's greatest seller, but he took some moves. And he didn't chicken out and say, don't give me this and don't give me that and don't throw me out of the ring. He took some moves. So good for him. Good for him. I'll give credit where credit is due. The match was entertaining. I do think that he's better off a heel, but the match was entertaining. Let's get to the big deal. Seth Rollins comes out. And as God is my witness, when the lights started to go out, I said, Jesus, it's Bray Wyatt. I did not think it was Cody Rhodes at that point. I said, uh-oh, we were all wrong. It is Bray Wyatt. They swerved us. But it was Cody Rhodes. Now, I want to tell you this. This was a sensational match. I'm not going to take anything away from either person, but what I'm about to say is probably going to anger AEW fans, but it's the truth. We saw last night that Seth Rollins is a superior athlete, and Cody Rhodes cannot hang with him. I don't care who won the match. Watch the match, and you will see that Seth Rollins is leading this match start to finish, that Cody originally is looking kind of slow and sluggish. He's missing moves. He totally missed a moonsault-type corkscrew, missed it completely. He was screwing up some things. He wasn't looking sharp. It was Seth who was holding that match together. Cody Rhodes is not the athlete that Seth Rollins is. I'm sorry. It's just the truth. You can book yourself to win anything. You don't have to be sensational to be on top if you're booking yourself to win or your promoter's booking you to win. And I'm not saying Cody's a bad wrestler. Cody's a solid wrestler. Cody is not in the league of Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins kind of exposed him last night, in my opinion. Not purposely. But Seth Rollins trying to pull the greatest match he could out of Cody Rhodes, which he did, in my opinion. I thought this was one of Cody Rhodes' best matches. Showed that there are weaknesses in Cody Rhodes' game that are not in Seth Rollins' game. Now, I'm being fair about this, and I'll tell you why. I'm not a big Seth Rollins fan as far as outside the ring. I've heard not good things about Seth Rollins, and I've seen some things I don't like. But in that ring, he is not his equal, period, end of conversation. And I guarantee you that if you ask a lot of people in the know about this, they'll tell you the same thing. Seth Rollins clearly showed superiority as far as wrestling ability and athletic ability over Cody Rhodes last night. Doesn't mean anything, because you could have somebody who has no athletic ability be the champion forever. I mean, you have Goldberg come out here and be the champion. But the bottom line is, Cody's going to have to pick up his game now. Cody's not going to be in a federation where he just says, I'll get to control all the shots. And you're going to be in there with guys like Seth Rollins. And you're going to need to pick your game up. Now, to his credit, later on in the match, Cody definitely came back around, looked better. But that initial 5 or 6 minutes that I'm watching, I'm saying to myself, Seth is carrying this. 100% carrying this. And even when it was over, I said to myself, there is a difference between the two. We have just seen the difference. One is a very, very, very good professional wrestler, and the other is an exceptional professional wrestler. That's my opinion. Mike, what's your thoughts on this match?
I agree with you there, and that's the thing. And the fact of the matter is what have we said about Seth Rollins that in 5 or 6 or 7 years, Seth Rollins could be AJ Styles, right? A guy in his 40s, you know, that is in great shape, that you could probably squeeze 3 or 4 or 5 more years out of and still near the top of his game, right? You know, I mean, I'll say this. If they put Cody Rhodes against AJ Styles, you probably have the same result. I mean, yeah, you'd have Cody Rhodes winning, but AJ Styles would look 10 times, about as good as Rollins would, because AJ Styles is the same type of athlete as Rollins, you know.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it. Now, this was a great match. And it was filled with so many close finishes and false finishes and things that I really said to myself, they went all out for this. Seth Rollins wanted, and to his credit, here's another thing that I'm going to credit Seth Rollins with. Seth Rollins could have said, you're bringing in some guy who was a mid-carder here. Went over to AEW, tried to run you out of business. Now you're bringing him back, and you want me, who carried this federation for I don't know how long on my shoulders when there wasn't anybody too charismatic around, you want me to lay down for him. Fine, I'll lay down for him. I'm not going to make him look good. He did the exact opposite. They went out there to steal the show, and had it not been for Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, they probably would have stole the show. They probably would have. But I do say that it was clear watching the match who the better athlete was, Tom. I think it's very obvious.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is a cut above in athletic ability than Cody Rhodes. I think Cody Rhodes, I mean, you could hear, you know, and of course I'm sure that he said it because he was told to say it, but you hear welcome back to the big leagues, bitch. That actually cracked me up. I'm kind of wondering if that was if he was told to say it or if he actually said it because he meant it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that was all, you know, a work. But at the same time, it's kind of true. It's kind of true. Now it's going to be all on Cody. People have been asking me, where does Cody go from here? Well, I don't know. I think that's up to Cody. I think they're going to give him a chance to get over with this crowd. But I want you to remember that he didn't get over all that well with AEW crowd. He was trying to be a top face in the AEW, and he was failing. And I don't know. We will see what ends up happening here. We will see. There are people who are predicting he's going to be hot for a month, and then they're going to bury him. There are people predicting he's going to be the champion. I think the ball is in the and he is going to have to prove once and for all that he really is the main event guy he says he is. It's just as simple as that. We'll see what ends up happening. Last night, however, Seth Rollins proved a lot to me. And I still say, personal differences aside, philosophical differences aside, Pound is one of the top two or three wrestlers, probably in the entire sport, but certainly in WWE, Todd.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, with this, the match with Cody Rhodes last night with Seth Rollins, when he came out, he got that big reaction from the fans, that humongous reaction.
Really did. And did you notice, Mike, he kind of gave a little homage to Stardust there in the middle of the match.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, so, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to bring – he wants to bring him back, but it was nice to see him actually acknowledge that character.
Right. Yes, yes. That I don't think they're bringing him back either, but, yeah, exactly. It was nice to see. Sensational match. Cody Rhodes is going to be a great addition to the WWE. Now, whether he's going to be a great addition as someone who could be the Intercontinental or U.S. champion or someone who's really going to go for the big belt, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But he's going to be a good addition. I'm looking forward to seeing what we're going to do with him. So then we have, by the way, the Sheamus match with Ridge Holland, that got canceled. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's tonight. You know, they had time for marching bands and all kinds of other things. They did not have time for the Sheamus match, so I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we then have Ronda Rousey taking on Charlotte Flair. And I kept saying to myself, oh, my God, did they ever do Charlotte Flair a dirty? I know there are people who don't like Charlotte Flair. I'm not sure why. I'm really not sure why. You can't deny that she's one of the better female wrestlers in the world, let alone in WWE. And, man, was she in tough. You got Ronda Rousey, who hasn't done more than a 10-minute match unless it's a tag team match in her career that I know of, unless it's a three-woman match or something. And I'm saying to myself, she is in so tough. She is, and then you threw her to the wolves by having her match later on in the card, where everyone's going to compare it to Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, which, forget it. There's no comparison. And I said, God, I just hope they do okay. I just hope it's not an embarrassment. Well, Ronda Rousey had the best match of her career, period. No question about it. This was the best match of Ronda Rousey's career. Was it a great, sensational five-star match? No. Is Ronda Rousey a great professional wrestler? Did she suddenly become fantastic? No. But she tried hard. I'm going to give her that. She tried hard this time. This was a little bit different than the Ronda Rousey we've seen before, who just wants to go in and do one or two moves and win and not sell anything. And this was totally different. They had a very solid match. And this is about the best you're going to get out of Ronda Rousey. I'm telling you right now, this is it. For the foreseeable future. I mean, if she wants to throw in her whole effort into professional wrestling, yeah, she'll get better. But she doesn't want to. This is the best you are going to see Ronda Rousey. It is the best match of her career thus far, and it's probably the best she's going to do. Now, they're going to probably have a rematch with Charlotte, and I guess that could be better. But for the people saying, well, it didn't live up to Becky Lynch and Bianca, well, no, of course not. But you can't judge it by that. You got to judge it by what it was. And for a Ronda Rousey match, this was a very good match. A very good match. Now, I know there were some people saying, oh, she was so upset that she wasn't going on last, that she stormed out of the Hall of Fame ceremony. That's not true. I don't know where people come up with these things. And some of these people who are coming up with them has been in the business of reporting wrestling news for 20, 30 years. Ronda Rousey was never supposed to be at the Hall of Fame. She was going to spend time with her family. She said so. And Ronda Rousey issued a statement saying, I wasn't upset. I was honored to go on the card underneath Stone Cold Steve Austin in Texas. You got to be kidding me. Who wouldn't be honored to do that? And I believe her. I absolutely believe her. This was just a made-up bunch of crap that she's mad and stormed out, and blah, blah, blah. And to her credit, she took the pin the right way. This is the Ronda Rousey we should have seen before. because then fans would like her. Then fans would have said, oh, okay, well, Ronda came over and she didn't try to hug up the whole joint and say, I'm better because I'm a real fighter or anything. She took a pinfall and she's one of the gang. You did it a year too late, Ronda. You'd be a sensationally popular person if you did this earlier. Didn't hurt Ronda a bit to take this fall. As a matter of fact, it's going to get her a lot more fan support. A lot more fan support. And yes, she's going to win the belt. And yes, it was a swerve because they promised her the belt, but they never promised her the belt at WrestleMania. They just promised her the belt. So, Mike, for a Ronda Rousey match, I thought this was really, really good.
Right. This is the match I'm talking about, how it was booked. And two things. One, this is – what do we say about Charlotte Flair being Ric Flair's daughter? And a lot of the matches that Ric Flair would win, you said, well, fuck, how did he win that match? Why did he win that match? And he barely squeaked it out by the skin of his teeth, right? You know,
yep.
foot under the ropes, hitting the referee, whatever it was. Well, that's exactly what they did with Charlotte. And look who the referee was. It was
right.
It was Charles Robinson, Little Nate.
That's
so
right.
It was very well booked, this match. You got a very good performance out of Rousey. It was very well booked, and it was booked the way it was supposed to be booked, having her survive by the skin of her teeth.
It was a very well-booked match, and it was also it was a sort of a coming-of-age thing for Ronda Rousey. She did more moves. She sold a lot more. She proved she can go in there for 15 minutes or so and not totally lose her place. Now, she is in there with Charlotte Flair, who's carrying her. I get it. But nonetheless, she still looked fine. Ronda Rousey last night looked like, okay, I'm a professional wrestler. This is the first time I've seen Ronda Rousey that I said she looks like a professional wrestler, as opposed to she looks like an MMA fighter squaring off against a professional wrestler. And that's the difference. So, yeah, I was very happy with it, Tom. I thought Ronda did a better job than normal, and Charlotte did her normal good job.
Agreed. I don't particularly care for Ronda Rousey. Her athletic ability in MMA is, you know, second to none, women's division. But as far as being a professional wrestler, she was in there with anybody else. It would have been the drizzling shits. Charlotte Flair carried her through that match 100%. And there was a lot of things that I said, you know, a lot of things that happened with the foot on the ropes and the referee counting three and then saying, no, foot on the ropes. Really, you know, the referee getting knocked out and Charlotte Flair tapping out, but the referee is knocked out. You can really get the referee involved considering that they call him, I think they call him Baby Flair or something. Maybe there's an angle where the referee was paid off or, you know, in an angle where he was, you know, he did it on purpose.
Well, but to be fair, I mean, her foot was on the ropes, so you do have to call that back. Here's the thing. I don't know if I agree that Charlotte did carry her as far as pacing and as far as fleshing out the match, but there were sequences in that match where they were reversing submission holds and actual real holds that I suspect that maybe Ronda taught Charlotte. I really think there might have been some give and take there where Charlotte was saying, look, we got to do this. This is professional wrestling, and this is what we do. When we get down on the mat and we're doing these reversals of reversals, what do you think? You know, how can we transition this? Because I haven't seen Charlotte do that before, Mike, and it felt like maybe they both got their heads together, and Ronda said, you give me the pro wrestling side of it, and I'll give you the on-the-mat, you know, transitioning side of it, and we'll both come out better, and it worked.
Right. And yeah, you would think that. And look, you're right. It took them a while to get to it. I mean, last person who had a similar type match with Ronda Rousey, I believe, was Natty. I believe, right? But yeah, this is, and apparently we said it on Friday. Apparently, Rhonda and Charlotte are close friends. So
yes.
Apparently, that probably led to the ability for Charlotte to go and do exactly what you said with her. Okay, we're gonna do this, but reversals from the ankle lock and all this, that, and the other, and all these reversals that we want to do of this mat-based stuff that you've done for years in the MMA ring. Well, how can we make it look good, you know?
Exactly. And I'll tell you something else that she did. This is the first time that I've seen Ronda Rousey, A, sell that much as far as being in pain or being close to losing, but she also did something that is usually the mark of an experienced wrestler, and that is when she thought she was going to win and then didn't, using a move, she looked frustrated. She sold Charlotte is way better than I thought she is. See, Ronda was very bad at that. Ronda wanted everybody to sell her as she's the baddest woman on the planet, and you can't do anything to hurt her, and you can't do anything to stop her, but she wouldn't do the same for you. Last night I saw her selling Charlotte of what more can I do? I've used all my moves. It's not working. I'm starting to get frustrated. And when she barked at the referee about, you already counted the three count, I thought you couldn't take it back. I thought that was brilliant because I said, that was Ronda showing a little bit of, God, what more do I need to do to win? I'd take that win, even though it wasn't the greatest win in the world. I'll take it because I'm in there really tough. This is the first time I've seen Ronda Rousey do something like that. And I think, Todd, that helps her a lot, really, as a wrestler.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with that match where Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. It was a pretty good match. Like you said, they took the time. And like you said, she lost clean. The right way.
And here's another thing. I know Ric Flair's called it the greatest women's match he's ever saw, which that's baloney. But I will say this. This was another match yet that did not look like it was choreographed. It really looked like they were fighting, Mike, which is the point of professional wrestling.
That helps Ronda Rousey, because we know what kind of fighter she actually is, and if you can get her into matches that the other girl, the other lady, and her actually look like they're fighting, it helps Ronda Rousey.
No question about it. That's why I think WrestleMania felt so good to me up to then. All of these matches now, except the first two, look like they were really fighting. They did not look choreographed. They looked like an athletic contest between two people. I was really, really thinking this is going to be sensational. So now let's get to the KO show. This was brilliant on about 9 different levels. First level being that we all knew that Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to stun KO. That's a foregone conclusion. And we all knew that Kevin Owens saying, come on the KO show, is just begging to get stunned. But whoever wrote the segment where Kevin Owens literally says to Steve Austin, I lied to you. No intention of calling you on this show to just talk to you. Called you here for a fight. I thought that was brilliant, because what that did was shows a much younger man and a much healthier man saying, I'm punking you out in front of an entire 80,000 people because I know that you don't have the ability right now to actually fight. That was a very good swerve. Now, we knew Austin, again, the minute Austin said yes, I said to myself, this is going to consist of Kevin Owens running at him, getting kicked in the stomach, stunned. That's what this is going to consist of. It's still going to be pretty good. It's going to get a great pop, but that's all this is going to be. And man, was I wrong. Austin took a suplex on the ground. He got thrown over the barricade. Did he look a little slow? Yes, he looked a little bit slow. Did he look a little bit rusty? Yes, he looked a little bit rusty. But I got news for you. He looked pretty damn good. They had a very, very good match. Now, I'm going to give all the credit in the world to Kevin Owens, because I know that Kevin Owens had to help make this match what it was. I'm not stupid. Kevin Owens is in charge of this match as far as making sure, A, Austin doesn't get hurt, B, Austin looks sensational, and C, he's very careful what he does to Austin. I get that. And when you're given those three restrictions, and you still got to make it look like a really, really good match, it's tricky. It's a little tricky. And Kevin Owens did it. But Austin still has all the charisma. He still has all of the – he wasn't even breathing heavy. He looked fantastic. It was like going back in a time warp. I'm watching the match saying, I don't believe what I'm seeing. And if you had this planned, which obviously you did, for the ending of Night 1 WrestleMania, you would have to be brain dead if this wasn't the ending. You would have to be on narcotics if you didn't make this the feature. Of course it's going to be the feature. Did you hear the audience? There's nothing. I don't care if it's the Bianca Belair-Becky Lynch match. I had people say that should have been the ending. Like hell. This has to be it. The roof was blowing off the building. No fan expected that much for their money, including me. We all expected some cheap two-minute thing where Austin wasn't going to take a bump and not much was going to happen and it was just going to be what it was. We got ourselves a long, hard match out of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if that's not good enough to make this Night 1 of WrestleMania a sensational, that's stupendous. It really is. Vince McMahon hit it on the head. This was a stupendous WrestleMania. It really was. Because there was two or three times that I was stupefied. I'm like, I can't believe Steve Austin's taking this move. I can't believe Logan Paul's doing a frog splash. I can't believe that Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair are pulling this off as well as they're doing it. My God, Cody Rhodes is putting on a sensational match with Seth Rollins. One thing after the other, I was like, I'm really surprised. I'm surprised in a good way. I'm surprised Ronda Rousey's pulling this off as well as she can. To the other, really left me going, what? That's fantastic. I just thought this, again, I thought that if you make anything else to main event but this in WrestleMania Night 1, Tom, then you have to be stupid.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, as soon as Steve Austin came out, that roof blew off the place. And for all the fanboys who are saying that Bianca and Becky should have been last, they're not wrestling fans, honestly. Like, that was the last match for a reason, and WrestleMania Night 2 has a lot to live up to. I give it to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens protected Steve Austin to an extent where he, you know, they were able to do things that I didn't think Austin was going to agree to do, like taking the suplex on the concrete. That was, you know, with a bad back, bad knees, and bad neck, as we all know, it's dangerous. Anything can go wrong, and he did it. And Kevin Owens, yes, protected him, did a good job of doing so. But Austin wasn't even stuck in. Austin wasn't even stuck in wind, which, you know, for a guy at his age, you know, yes, he looked a little slow. So what? He's not a full.
Yeah, I mean, so what? It's been how many years since a match? You can't argue with that. Plus, he didn't lose anything on the mic. Hilarious when he sits there with a little with haircut. Austin has a way of, I don't know. He just has a way of finding it out because I never really even noticed that Kevin Owens has beady eyes and a stupid haircut until Austin pointed it out, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. And think about this, you know. Austin looks like in his prime, he wrestled at about 245, 250 pounds. He looks like he's about 230 right now. That's how good he looks, you know?
Yep.
And that helps. And this was, what, maybe a 10 to 12-minute match. We weren't expecting that. All right? We weren't expecting a 10-minute match out of Stone Cold Steve Austin. At 57 years old with his history of injuries, we weren't doing that. And look, I think the best spot of the night for me was in that Becky Lynch match when she did that basically flipping missile drop kick from the top rope. That was a
great. And I know there were people saying, "Oh, I'm it was one big long beer commercial for his beer." So what? Did you see the man literally leave it all out there? You know, if you're sitting back there and you're dogging it and you're 28, you should be ashamed. Steve Austin just showed you how to be a professional wrestler. Literally showed you how to be a professional wrestler at 58 years old. Okay? Entertaining as hell. Make it look real as you possibly can make it look, and give the fans their money's worth. He did all of that. And I have a newsflash for you. He wasn't the greatest professional wrestler in his prime, and he still pulled it off. There are parts of the match where I'm saying, I believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe what I'm seeing. And again, give full credit to Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was in tough. There had to be a lot of pressure on him, right? Because you don't want to be hurting Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? So there's a lot of pressure on him. It's a big spot. And he did sensational. He did absolutely sensational. And guess what else he did, folks? When he took the stunner, I don't know, he had to take a second one, so he had to stay in the ring. He sold it. He didn't just take the stunner and go, oh, let me roll outside the ring and lay there for a minute or two and then get up and yell and scream. No, he laid there like he was unconscious. In other words, he put to bed, my stunner is better than yours. Obviously, it isn't because Stone Cold kicked out of his stunner. Right? So he did a whole bunch right. Kevin Owens did a whole bunch right in this match. This goes to show you that when the WWE tries, they can do this. They took a very, very poorly promoted, from the sake of storylines and angles, WrestleMania, and turned it into a fantastic event. If you had have actually took a lot of time to flesh out these storylines, this would have been the best WrestleMania of all time, maybe. The problem was you didn't do that. The problem was you kind of just, we're putting this guy against this guy, and that's good enough. I got a newsflash. You got a lot to live up to tonight, WrestleMania Night 2. And if you're Johnny Knoxville or even Pat McAfee, you got to be looking at Logan Paul going, what the actual fuck? Yeah, I'm going to have to live up to this, or I'm going to be laughed off the television. I was very happy overall with Night 1. Highly entertaining. Everyone tried their best. Thought it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Anyway, I do want to talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame ceremony before we get to Night 2. I thought this Hall of Fame ceremony was handled very, very well. I actually like the fact that the wrestlers who were nominated and the workers who were nominated come down the aisle in front of the audience instead of just from backstage. That's number one. Number two, most of the speeches were concise. I know The Undertaker's was extremely long, but if anybody deserves extremely long, it was The Undertaker's. And while his speech was extremely long, it was not rambling. There was a beginning, a middle, and end. He had it all figured out the way he wanted. I thought the Steiners certainly deserved it. I thought Rick was slightly better than Scott. You know, Scott rambles a little bit, but his story about the Macho Man and the cows was funny. And Charmel, Queen Charmel, you know, there were people saying, does she really deserve it? Well, I don't know. But the bottom line is this. I forgot how some of the entertaining she was sometimes. The deal with the Boogeyman was entertaining. I remember it now, and I say, oh, yeah, you know what? That was fun. Here's what I do want to say. If anybody should get the Warrior Award, it's Shad Gaspard's son. Because at his age, to walk down that aisle knowing you're honoring your dead father, who, by the way, died to make sure you're alive, with a smile on his face and with grace and humbleness and genuine happiness, is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I said nothing could ever steal the Undertaker's thunder of being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I still say nothing will steal the Undertaker's thunder of being inducted to the Hall of Fame. But if anything ever would, it's watching that kid's poise and class and dignity. And that is much more of an honor to Shad Gaspard than the Warrior Award. Because that takes a parent. When your child is raised that way and is able to do that, that's the only award you really need. And it was absolutely amazing. It was probably the moment, in my opinion, that was the moment for me of the entire Hall of Fame, even though I'm the world's biggest Undertaker fan, probably. But I was just amazed, because I know most kids would have been down there. They'd have been bawling. They'd have been upset. They'd have been depressed. They'd have been scared and nervous. And he was none of those things. He truly and honestly was celebrating his father. And that, it doesn't really get any more impressive than that. That's all I can say about that, Mike. I was highly impressed.
I was too. And think about this. What is he, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever he is, you know, his son? I'm going to say this. In about a decade or so, maybe a little bit more, there's a good chance that that kid is going to end up in the same business that his dad was in. And I would be all for that, because people don't think so, but it takes poise to be a professional wrestler. It really does. And that kid has poise up the wazoo, just from this thing. And you're right, it comes from him being raised correctly, him, two parents in the home, the mom and the dad and all this stuff, being raised correctly. You know, he's not this guy. This kid is not going to be one of these kids that's going to end up on the wrong side of the law or whatever. You know, it's just not going to happen in my mind. So yeah, he's
yeah. And I'll tell you something. I think she summed it up when she said, "You had a badass dad, but here's the deal: you actually had a great dad, because there's no way a kid does that unless you do." Doesn't happen. Can't fake it. You can't pretend. That's just good parenting, period. So that really was like amazing. Then the Undertaker speech came, and of course that was amazing too. I think that he encapsulated exactly what it takes to be a pro wrestler. And I know there were some people saying, why didn't he mention Mankind? Why didn't he mention Mick Foley? Mick Foley's daughter was all upset because he didn't. Well, what did you want the dimension in the particular match was Mick Foley's match? You understand? That wasn't the Undertaker's match. That was all about Mick Foley falling off the cage, falling through the cage, being thrown off the cage. That was a Mick Foley match. That was a match for Mick Foley to thank the Undertaker, not for the Undertaker to thank Mick Foley. That didn't help the Undertaker's career in any way. That was Mick Foley's match. So, of course, the Undertaker didn't mention that. He can't mention everybody. I think he hit all the key parts of his career. I think he did an excellent job. And it makes me think of something. I can't help but think of this. You could have no better career than being the Undertaker. But I say to myself, he was pretty articulate. And he didn't seem to be reading from any script. And it makes me wonder how good were his promos would have been if he wasn't supposed to be a guy who didn't say anything for most of his career. You know what I mean? He seems to be pretty good on the mic. And I'm saying to myself, God, if he's that good naturally on the mic that he can talk for an hour and not really stumble over his words and get all of his key points in and all that kind of stuff, he probably would have been a great promo if he didn't play a guy who didn't do promos, Todd. It's amazing.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the Undertaker speech the other night, he did his speech from his heart. He didn't read no script or anything. One of the stories he mentioned about Sid Vicious in a match, when his mother tried to jump the railing at a WCW house show or something like that.
Yeah, Derek in the chat room saying, even when you have two good parents, could you do that? I don't know. You see, the thing is, you see people getting emotional just over being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And again, I want people to understand, and I don't want to dwell on it, but this is a kid who fully understands that his father gave his life up for him. And now they're honoring his father. And he could be a bawling mess, right? He could be out there overcome by emotion. And you would say, that's perfectly understandable. That's perfectly understandable and perfectly rational and perfectly reasonable. What would you expect? And instead, he was out there with a smile on his face, acknowledging the fact that his dad would be happy. It's just amazing. It's one of the most amazing things I've seen. It really is. They showed Naomi in the audience. She was a drizzling mess. Naomi's a grown woman. She's crying hysterically. And there's Shad Gaspard's son smiling, happy, acknowledging the crowd, acknowledging his dad, and paying tribute to his dad. So, absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing moment. It stole the show from me to an extent, because I said to myself, I don't know. I don't know how you can get better than that. You just can't. Even his wife was sort of that way. I mean, she got a tiny little bit emotional, but not really. I mean, they had such poise and such a clear focus that this is not a maudlin time. This is a time to celebrate someone who is absolutely a hero. Absolutely a hero. And it was fantastic. I don't know. There's going to be hard pressed to find a better Warrior Award moment. I don't know. You're going to be hard pressed to find a better speech than The Undertaker's too. You got this so far. This WrestleMania weekend has been really, really sensational. Really sensational. So anyway, let's get on to a night. Two, because man, oh man, do they have something to live up to. I don't know if they can do it. I really don't, because now you've really set the bar high. And I mean really high. So we'll see. I mean, I hope. That's all we can do, right? Just hope. Let's start out, I guess, with the women's tag team match. And we have Sasha Banks and Naomi. And let's see who they're going against. Sasha Banks and Naomi is going against, obviously, Zelina and Carmella. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan and Natalya and Shayna Baszler. I don't expect much from this. I really don't. I wish I did, but I don't. I do think you're going to see new champions. I do think it's going to be Sasha and Naomi. I don't think Sasha Banks would be involved in this if it wasn't, to be honest with you. She's, you know, she's not somebody who doesn't want to be in the title picture constantly, let's put it that way. And for her to say, yeah, yeah, we're going to do this tag team thing, I have to assume she was told you're gonna get the titles. So, Mike, I'm going to go with Sasha Banks and Naomi. I think they'll be the new champions.
I think so, too. And look, here's the deal. I mean, we know what story we like to tell with Naomi, right? And this could be sort of a thing where they tell the story. They maybe start to tell some semblance of that story if they actually want to do that. But yeah, and as far I'll say Naomi and Sasha will win it, but here's the deal. I still want to see Naomi versus Bianca Belair.
Yes, me too. Tom, what do you think about this one? I don't think this is going to steal any show, but what do you think?
To be honest with you, I think this is honestly a filler match. My heart is not invested in it. They didn't really sell this to an extent where I'm interested. I think it's just a filler match. But my pick, honestly, if you want to go with my pick, it's going to probably be Banks and Naomi winning the tag team championships, considering they wouldn't play it up for weeks if they're not going to be.
Yeah, Sasha's usually around that title. That's usually where they want her, Todd. So I imagine this is going to be their moment.
Well, like you said, we're going to see new tag team champions tonight. We're going to see Naomi and Sasha Banks become the new tag team women's tag team champions, and I think you're going to see Queen Selena turns on Carmella after the match is over tonight, too, and by the looks of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Again, I'm not expecting much from it. It's a shame. They threw these teams together last minute, some of them too, and it's, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's going to be good. Maybe they'll exceed my expectations again. Maybe they will. Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn. If you're smart. Now, I've heard people say this is for Sami Zayn to lose to because yeah, of course, there's going to be all kinds of outside-the-ring activities. You think those other guys from Jackass aren't going to show up and pull some kind of pranks and do something to Sami Zayn? That's how this match is going to be booked. That's why it's anything goes. Some of them other Jackass guys are going to show up. They're going to pull some kind of prank on him. He's going to lose. Should that be what happens? No. It's time to get Sami Zayn off of the I always lose and blame other people routine into a serious athlete. And the only way to do that is to bury Johnny Knoxville. But Johnny Knoxville did not sign up to do this to get buried. So that's not going to happen. But Johnny Knoxville's got big shoes to fill. And I don't think he's going to fill them. So I hope I go on this radio show tomorrow and tell you I'm wrong. And that Johnny Knoxville far outdid my expectations, like I did with Logan Paul, but I don't think so. I don't think he's taking it anywhere near as seriously. And I just think his whole attitude is, this will be funny. And I don't think it's supposed to be funny. So we'll see what ends up happening. Somehow Johnny Knoxville's going to win this, though, Mike. So my assumption is his other jackass compadres are going to help.
Right. That's my assumption. Look, as far as Logan Paul versus Johnny Knoxville, Logan Paul is what, 20 years younger than Johnny Knoxville? You know, so, and he is an athlete. So, and Johnny Knoxville, yeah. Johnny Knoxville is a stunt man. He's not an athlete. He's a stunt man. And this is not a stunt man thing. This is a, well, I don't call it a sport, but it's closer to being a sport than what Johnny Knoxville does. Right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Look, for God's sake, look at Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair and look at Becky and Bianca, you know? And frankly, this match is not going to be anywhere. We think that the women's tag team championship is a filler match. This might be a filler match too, but it's not going to be anywhere near the quality match that women's tag team champion is going to be. And look, I'm all for filler matches. After what we saw last night, we need a match that is going to kind of take the thing down, but I mean the fans are going to be just after last night's show, they're going to be just out, and you need a rest match, you know. So I'm all for that type of filler match, you know.
Yeah. Now Derek's saying about the women's match that he kind of thinks the belts are going to stay in place. Because maybe Naomi's going to end up going with Roman and stuff. And I know Mike thinks that too. I've given up on that. I don't think they're doing it. I don't think they're interested in doing it. They've showed no signs of being interested in doing it. They haven't even hinted at doing it. And I just don't think they're going to. I think this is her consolation prize. Anyway, who wins, Todd, Johnny Knoxville, or Sami Zayn? Poor Sami Zayn.
I wish it would be a double disqualification.
I don't think you can be disqualified because it's anything goes. Tom, what do you think? Knoxville's got to win, right?
Yeah, obviously Knoxville's going to win, but I mean they're really crapping on Sami Zayn. I mean, I guess you know if that's all they have for him to bring some, you know, stuntman in that's way past his prime and he just thinks it's going to be funny. It's not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be wrestling. And you know what? I mean, it's kind of a letdown. This is another filler match. And if night two has to live up to night one, these first two matches that we talked about are not going to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is going to be anything special. Pat McAfee, Austin Theory. Now, here's the thing. I said last night, watching Pat McAfee, listening to Pat McAfee, the reason Pat McAfee is so good, I finally figured it out. I said to myself, why is Pat McAfee such a good announcer? What is it about him? Because he sometimes can be a little goofy. And I said, you know what it is? It's almost like you're watching wrestling with a friend. And they're a really big wrestling fan. And they're just marking out for everything, and they just love everything. And it's like it's kind of fun because they're so into it, you're into it. Well, that's Pat McAfee. That's why he's so good. It's like watching wrestling with a friend who's really into wrestling. Having said that, now Pat McAfee's had matches. It's not Pat McAfee's first time. So he doesn't have an excuse to not be decent. And he was decent before. He was in there with what, Adam Cole? Yeah, and he was fine. So he'll be okay, but he can't win this match. And I'll tell you why he cannot win this match. Because you've just had Austin Theory pin Finn Balor, not once but twice. And if Finn Balor cannot beat Austin Theory and Pat McAfee can, then he may as well take the belt and shove it where the sun don't shine. So this, I'm sorry, I'm a big Pat McAfee fan. I think he's one of the best announcers the WWE's hired in a long time. And I hope he has a very long career with the WWE because I'm very entertained by him. But he can't win this match. He just cannot win this match. If he wins this match, Finn Balor may as well just take his bags and go. Now, if you want to promote Austin Theory as being a tough guy, I'm all for it. I like Austin Theory. I think he's got a great future in the WWE. But he can't lose to Pat McAfee. He just can't. He just can't. So I hope he doesn't, Mike, but I got a feeling he might.
And especially the fact that apparently Brock Lesnar likes him, Austin Theory.
Right.
You know, you don't want to waste the fact that one of your top guys likes this guy and thinks so highly enough about him that he does what he does with him a lot of the times, you know, putting his cowboy hat on him or whatever, and just not doing a lot, not doing his moves, not beating him up the way he beat anybody else up and all that stuff. So you don't want to waste the fact that Brock Lesnar likes Austin Theory. Oh, I get the fact that he that McAfee has been in the ring, has had a few matches here and there, and like I said earlier, he was an All Pro punter, so he's a decent athlete. All right. So, and it is what it is with that. But he has to lose, and it has to be Austin Theory. If you think that highly enough of him, that you're having him work with Vince McMahon, and Vince
right.
McMahon thinks that highly of him, that he's actually working with this guy, you know. And
the only possible exception way that I could see Pat McAfee winning this match is if Finn Balor interferes. But I don't know why Finn Balor would interfere. If he does in any way, shape, or form, and it sets up Austin Theory, Finn Balor for a title match, I guess I get it, but I don't like it. I still don't like it. But if you're going to have McAfee win, then that would have to be the way, I suppose. Todd, what's your thoughts?
I gotta go with you guys. I'm going to go with Austin Theory here. He needs to. I think McAfee's going to probably put him over in tonight's match. You know, if it's he needs this win after two loses.
Yeah, I think so too. I again, could Finn Balor interfere? Yes, and cost him the match and set up another match and be a branch on the tree. I think so, but we've already seen the Austin Theory Finn Balor stuff, Tom. So I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, we've already seen it. It's been done to death, Austin Theory and Finn Balor. And, you know, if you're going to typecast Pat McAfee as an announcer, then he shouldn't win this match. He's an announcer. He shouldn't win against Austin Theory. Austin Theory should be – I wouldn't say he should be dominant.
No.
Super dominant. But I think that Austin Theory should be the right person to win this match. And if he's not – then what does that say for Finn Balor, considering Austin Theory beat him twice? So
that's what I said. That
wouldn't make any sense.
No,
so
and he's
now,
a champion,
you know,
so that's why it doesn't make sense. That's what I'm saying. You can't – I don't see – and why would the champion interfere on behalf of McAfee, too? That's another weird thing. I hope that doesn't happen. Omos versus Bobby Lashley. Now, I've racked my brain with this. And I've said to myself, well, if Omos loses, it's kind of done. The magic is done, right? If Bobby Lashley loses, holy crap, man. What has he done lately except lose? So I've come to this conclusion, and this is going to be my long shot pick of the night. I think Bobby Lashley is losing because I think MVP is turning on him. I think MVP is going to be the manager of Omos. Said that for a while now, that I thought MVP was going to recruit Omos at some point. Thought he was going to be a part of the Hurt Business. Now I see clearly you want Bobby Lashley to be a face, and I don't see where MVP fits in. MVP is the better heel. And I have a weird feeling that he didn't come out with Bobby Lashley. I got a weird feeling that tonight we're going to see MVP turn on Bobby Lashley and cost him his match, meaning that Lashley has a reason to lose and almost is still undefeated, Mike.
I think so, too. I think Bobby Lashley loses by MVP's interference and all that stuff. And I do agree with you. And as far as the previous match, you said who should basically interfere in that match. In my mind, the person who should interfere in that match is Shane McMahon.
That would be interesting. I'd do that if you wanted to do it. And you know Shane is around, so you might have hit the nail on the head there. Shane's around this WrestleMania weekend, so maybe Shane would come down and do something. Be interesting. It would be interesting. I know Vince wanted him to work with Austin Theory, so... what's your thoughts on the Omos versus Bobby Lashley match, Todd?
Like you said, what the Almas and the Bobby Lashley thing, it's just one of those matches, like, could go either way.
Yeah, I just think that Almas is a one-trick pony, and right now that trick is he's undefeated. If he gets defeated, I don't know what's next for him. Bobby Lashley, if you want to make that face turn complete, this is the way to do it, Tom, is to have MVP turn on him, lose the match, and you'll still get another match out of it.
It's very interesting, but I'm going with my – I'm going to go to my little conspiracy theorist spidey senses that I have a feeling, because Bobby Lashley needs MVP, because that man cannot handle the microphone. He needs MVP, and I think to be effective as – I think they should keep him – really keep him neutral instead of turn him face. But if you really wanted to get heat for Omos and keep him undefeated, I say this goes to a no contest, considering that somehow backstage MVP gets demolished by Omos. And that's a no contest. It doesn't hurt Bobby Lashley. He doesn't lose and Omos still stays undefeated. It builds up something for them to fight about later and have Bobby Lashley, like, avenge the thrashing of MVP. If you're going to turn MVP, I just think that you would have really nobody to speak for Bobby Lashley, which I think he truly needs a mouthpiece. That's what my spidey senses are telling me, and if I'm going with a lock for this night too, that would be it. Hello?
Okay, so we had some trouble. I hope you can hear us now. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I don't know what's happening with Blog Talk. We're doing the best we can here. So anyway, I do think that we're probably going to see something big happen in this match, and I can't imagine that it would be anything other than MVP turning, because I don't think anything else justifies Bobby Lashley losing.
No, I don't think so either. And that's the thing. And look, one other thing that we saw last night was we saw Titus O'Neil come out. And Titus O'Neil is good on the mic. I'd like to see – we know that Bobby Lashley Lee needs somebody with his help on the mic. And, hell, I mean, Titus would fit that bill, you know. He could actually restart Titus Worldwide with Bobby Lashley, but that's in the future. That's just a thought that's running through my mind, Marcus.
Yeah, I'd be up for that. I'd be absolutely up for that. Anyway, let's get on to the Tag Team Championship match, in which we see RK-Bro take on the Alpha Academy and the Street Profits. The thing about RK-Bro is they're so popular, it's going to be tough to take those belts off them. It really is. I know there's some people saying, well, they don't need the belts. They're so popular they don't need the belts, and that is true. But at the same token, they already did the thing where they chased the belts, and they won them back. Do you want them to chase the belts again? I don't know. My thought is they're going to retain. I was hoping sort of the Alpha Academy would get them, because I think the Alpha Academy needs them, and I don't think RK-Bro does. But I don't know, Tom. I think probably they're going to keep them belts right where they are.
I think so, too. RK-Bro doesn't really need the belts because they're over as any tag team can be over as – I didn't think it was going to work, honestly. I really, really despised Matt Riddle. It just has a face you want to punch. But Randy Orton and Matt Riddle have such great chemistry, and the fans love it. So, I mean, to keep the belts on them, I don't think they need it, but I think the fans want it. Alpha Academy and the Street Profits actually should be the ones chasing them. I think they should keep them right on RK-Bro where they are. Even though they don't need them, that's where it really looks like they're headed.
Yeah, Derek in the chat room saying the same thing. You know, WrestleMania, you want the fans to be happy. It just seems logical that they'd keep them to me. Maybe we're going to see the Alpha Academy and the Street Profits start a big feud or something. Maybe that's where that's going. But, Todd, I don't necessarily see RK-Bro losing.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I don't see that losing the belts either. They just won them back like a couple weeks ago. And like you said, if they lose, they still probably be popular. But like you said, if Alpha Academy and Street Profits loses, I think you're going to see the Street Profits turn heel down the road.
Yeah, you know, they've been acting a little heelish, Mike, but what's your thoughts on this? RK-Bro keeps it, or you think they're going to change the belts?
No, I think RK-Bro keeps it, and I think the more they won, I do think that that they will turn heel at some point. Will the Street Profits, because they've basically done all they can do as a face. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, and look, as more, the more that they play those Snickers commercials with Otis and with the Alpha Academy, the more it's going to be obvious that one, Otis has got charisma, tons of it, and that, frankly, so does Chad Gable. And the more they play, those things are starting to become popular, those Snickers commercials. And
yes.
And the more they play those Snickers commercials, the more they're going to become popular, and the more people are going to want to cheer for the Alpha Academy, and the more they're going to, you know, the WWE is going to think about flipping them.
Yeah, I think at some point that's probably likely to happen. I know I have a question coming in about Sheamus and Ridge Holland. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to have their match. Their match was scheduled for last night. I don't know why it was moved. I assume they're going to have the match tonight, but I don't know for sure. Maybe they just canceled it completely. Anyway, let's go to AJ Styles versus Edge. Now, I had said AJ Styles clearly has to win this, but then some last-minute news came in, and the last-minute news is that Edge is scheduled to start a new wrestling faction. And it could include Damian Priest and maybe someone else. And we may see them tonight because Damian Priest is not scheduled for any match, which means that it's possible that we see some interference. It's possible that AJ Styles loses but does not lose cleanly, that the referee goes down and other people show up and we see the debut of a brand new faction. That could possibly be. It also could possibly be that Edge is going to lose and then go away for a couple of weeks and come back with a new faction. So now they have thrown a monkey wrench into it where you're not 100% sure what's going to happen. If the match is clean, AJ Styles will win. If the match is going to be a setup for this new faction, then AJ Styles will lose. The exciting thing about this that I think no one is seeing yet is Rick Boogs is out for 6 months, maybe a year, they're saying. There is next to nothing going on with Finn Balor, and AJ Styles is on his own. And if you have a faction of three people with Edge's group, we could potentially see Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, and Finn Balor form their own little version of the Bullet Club or something like that, Mike. And that would be, I think that would be big money.
I think it would be big money as well. And we've said this. Now, granted, we've said that maybe we need a bigger guy with Finn Balor, because think about it.
when they were doing the club with the Good Brothers,
right?
You know, AJ was the smallest guy in the group, and of course Gallows was the biggest guy, right?
Right.
You know, I still think you need a bigger guy, but if they do it with those three guys, hell, I mean, that might make, you know, it take a lot of pressure off of AJ, and it,
yep.
You know, because he doesn't want to do much. I mean, not much, but he doesn't want to do a lot, and mm-hmm. it would give them something better to do with Finn Balor and Shinsuke.
Yes. See, that's what I'm thinking, because you hit the nail on the head. AJ is fine with working, but if he can elongate his career by not working quite as hard, and if he had some partners, that would make it not quite as hard. Shinsuke now is in outer space because they wanted him to be a tag team partner with Rick Boogs, and that's not going to happen. And Finn Balor's doing nothing. So if you form those three together to combat a faction that Edge has come through with, I tell you, I think you have something there. Todd, that could very well be what they have in mind.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, you probably have Edge and Damian Priest. And I also heard Tommaso Ciampa might be in this faction.
Okay, so those are not, that's interesting, because those are not outstandingly big guys. I mean, Damian Priest is like 6'5". Edge is kind of tall, but they're not huge. They're not monstrous people. They're not, you know, Braun Strowman. So that would be okay if they had Shinsuke and AJ and Finn. That would work okay, I think, against those three. Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a good faction to me. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, it really does, and I really think that this was maybe a last-minute thing considering what happened to Rick Boogs. So if this is the case, I mean, honestly, Finn Balor's not really doing anything, and AJ Styles winning cleanly would obviously be the right way to go, and then Seth Rollins brings back the faction. But to bring back the faction for interference kind of negates Edge being so. If he wants to best AJ, then why would he interfere?
So think about it. Who was the big feud with? Damian Priest and Finn Balor, right? Finn Balor took the belt. So that makes sense. If Finn Balor is going to be involved in this in any way, shape, or form, it would be because of Damian Priest maybe initially. Now, you're right about Shinsuke. He might not have been the original choice. They might have said, okay, AJ and Finn, and then we're going to throw in a bigger guy, like Mike said. But because there's nothing to do with Shinsuke now, Mike, maybe they'll change their plans and say, well, you know, this is the only thing that makes sense for Shinsuke.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense right now. Now, granted, once in 6 to 8 months or a year when Boogs comes back, they may want to redo the whole thing with him and Shinsuke. You know, maybe they move on, maybe they don't, but maybe they, you know, because they were starting to get over with this whole thing, and Boogs was starting to get better. I've said that before. So. But, yeah, until Boogs does come back, and if they do plan on having Boogs, hell, when Boogs comes back, they could have Boogs join that faction with AJ and Shinsuke and Finn, you know?
Yeah, if they wanted to. And, I mean, listen, we don't even know at this stage of the game what they might have planned or how long it's going to take for him to get back. I do know this. Some people had said, oh, well, what about Elias? Here's what I heard about Elias. Take it for what it's worth, but this is what I'm being told. I was told that Elias, they wanted to repackage as sort of a macho man type character, and they told him to shave his head, and he did. And he's now just a bald guy with a big beard. Vince McMahon took a look at the hair and said, I don't like it. And now they're saying, wait until your hair grows back. So they have the poor guy shave his head bald and then say, we don't like it after all. We like you better with your hair. Wait till your hair grows back. Otherwise, I'd say maybe Elias would be part of that group with Edge. It'll be an interesting thing to see what this Edge group will be like, though, Tom. I think Tommaso Ciampa would fit in very well.
Tommaso Ciampa would be a good addition. The thing with Elias, that's the first time I'm actually hearing that, and I would have honestly asked for my release. Because you just got to make a decision, you know, if you're going to have somebody shave their head bald, and then be like, I changed my mind. Well, how long does it take for hair to grow back? Pretty long time. How long has he been out? For quite a while. So that's, you know, that's annoying.
Yeah, that's not good. There's no question about that. That doesn't speak well of what they think of Elias. I mean, he could wear a wig if he had to. Buddy Roberts did it for I don't know how long from the Freebirds. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, if you remember the Freebirds, you had Terry Gordy, Buddy Roberts, and Michael P.S. Hayes, and Buddy Roberts was wearing a wig because I remember seeing a videotape one night when it fell off. And it didn't work too well, though. But we've come a long way with those things, so he probably could find a way to get Elias in there a little earlier till his hair grew back to a certain extent, or at least extensions once it grows back a little bit, because I know a lot of the women do wear the extensions and things. Listen, this WrestleMania Part 2, it has a lot to live up to. Styles and Edge light it up? Absolutely. The rest of these matches I'm looking at, I'm saying, and of course the biggest WrestleMania match of all time, according to the hype, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. This is the most hyped up match. And I have a newsflash for both of them. If you think going 6 minutes or 8 minutes is going to cut it, you're out of your mind. This has got to be a 15-minute match. So I hope you're both prepared for it. It's got to be 15 minutes or longer. And this has got to be special. Now, Roman Reigns is up for it. I know he's up for it. I hope Brock Lesnar is up for it. I've seen Brock Lesnar seem to be rejuvenated as of late. And he seems to be very, very happy with his position. And he seems to be wrestling better. He better. Because I'm telling you, last night the WWE lit it up. And if your most stupendous match ever on your second night, because I would figure your second night is where you want your best and biggest matches. Night one's got to be good, but night two is what everyone's going to remember. So you got to make these the best. And oh boy, did they set the bar high. I'm not sure they can even do it, Mike, but it'll be fun to see.
You know, if anybody can, we're expecting a ton from the Edge AJ match. I mean, we think that they can do that. You know, we think they can set a high bar for night two. And he's proven it if he wants to, Brock Lesnar. If he wants to, if he's happy and he wants to, he can turn it on and do good. Now, at 41 years old, or whatever he is, 43, 44, whatever he is he going to want to put together, you know, and because we know how these things work. The wrestlers meet in the back and they do this and they put it together and all that stuff. Is he going to want to put that much work into the match to be able to put together a 15-minute match, you know?
Is he going to want to
– Brock Lesnar?
I do know exactly what you're saying, but, Mike, put yourself in their shoes. You're the main event of night two, and you just watched night one. And if I had a nice little concise 8-minute match ready to go with a spot or two, and I saw what happened there, I'm getting together with my opponent in the dressing room tonight and saying, I think we better see if we can't get a few more minutes added to our match and maybe do a few more things, because otherwise we're going to be remembered as the fourth or third or fourth best match in a two-night WrestleMania, and that's not acceptable.
Well, yeah, yeah. And, and like I said, I was already looking forward to the AJ Edge match, because I thought that before I saw night one, I thought that could be a match that steals the show, right?
Yep.
Even with Edge being in his 50s, you know, and AJ kind of in his 40s. I thought it could be a match before I saw night one that could steal the show. And I think that match has a potential to do that. I mean, that match, if they've already planned their match out, which I'm sure they have, and they've gotten together and then they've seen night one, okay, then AJ and Edge will come back and say, okay, we've got, they already know the ending. We've got to put something together that potentially could top that match. And AJ and Edge will do that, can do that. They can get together.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the one that WWE is relying on to be the match of tonight, at least. But I think they got it. I think Brock and Roman got to do it. They've got an awful lot to live up to. They've got to beat the women's title match between Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, which was sensational. They've got to beat Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, which was really, really strong. They're going to have to beat AJ versus Edge, and you know that's going to be strong. And they're the main event. They've got to deliver. They can't rely upon, well, our story's better. Okay, your story's better, but it's all the more reason why it's got to deliver. They got a lot to live up to, Tom. I'm not 100% sure they can do it, but I'm anxious to see.
I'm anxious to see, too, and this is really what the WWE makes, you know, a huge mistake by putting the matches that they put on night one, which they had to know they were going to be good and really good. And I think that they really should have split some of these things up. I mean, honestly, Knoxville and Sami Zayn should have been on night one. Really should have traded that for Seth and Cody. It just, you know, honestly, two women's championship matches in one night, I disagree with. But they don't really have much to be able to live up to night one on night two. And that's where I mean, the most sensational match of all time, Roman versus Brock. Well, what else do you have? AJ and Edge? Because at that
point. Yeah, see, I tend to agree with you. I think you're right. I would have split the women's matches and put Sammy and Johnny Knoxville on night one. It's a good point. It's a fair point. They kind of stacked the first night, and then now you're looking at the second night, and you're asking Pat McAfee to deliver. You're asking Johnny Knoxville to deliver. You're asking the four tag teams in the women's division who haven't delivered yet. I'm going to tell you right now, they haven't delivered yet. You're asking them to deliver. You're asking Almost to deliver, and what's, you know, Almost done? That's tough. Todd, what do you think? You think night two is going to outlive night one or not?
Yeah, absolutely right there. But like you said, I would have put the Sami Zayn and the Johnny Knoxville match on night one and then have it on night two.
Yeah, but Mike, do you think that the WWE figured, well, the good wrestling, for the most part, will be on night one, but the best stories will be on night two? Because that's sort of what it feels like to me anyway.
Yeah, that's sort of what it feels like, and I think that's what they were thinking. But it might blow up in their face, their thinking, which a lot of times they have faulty thinking in terms of what they do, and it kind of does blow up in their face a lot of times. And the fact of the matter is again, it's all going to be, because we know we have pretty much an 80% feeling of what we're going to get from AJ and Edge, right? And that's a pretty good feeling.
It's all going to be – just this second night is going to hinge on what Brock Lesnar does, what he wants to do.
I agree with that, and I worry. And that's what makes me worry, because Brock Lesnar is not like any other person. I have been in the dressing room with people who said, oh, man, they had such a good match, the people who went out before me. We really got to light it up. And they go tell their opponent, you know, we really got to make it special. We got to light it up and make sure we're at our top. Because you don't want to be the match, right? Brock Lesnar don't think that way. Brock Lesnar's just like, well, I'm Brock Lesnar. I'm the star, and it doesn't make any difference whether it's a one-minute match or a five-minute match or I just suplex you 400 times. It doesn't matter. The reason you're here is because I'm Brock Lesnar. I know that's the way he thinks. So he's not going to take a look at AJ and Edge and say, oh, we really got to make this special to outdo them. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to outdo anybody. He just, give me my money and I'm going home to a certain extent. I'll deliver what you want me to do. Give me my money. I'm going home. However, AJ Styles and Edge are not like that. And I can guarantee you AJ Styles and Edge watch Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, watch Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch and said, we got to be the one they're talking about tomorrow night. So that's why, Tom, I think that one's probably going to steal the show.
Yeah, I mean, I really truly hope that they do not put Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns first. That's actually the way it's been for quite a while, that he comes out for the championship matches first. But, I mean, they really have a lot to live up to. The storylines, yes, the good stories are on night two, but the wrestling was on night one. And I'd like to see a little bit of both. If you're going to make it two nights, I prefer to see a nice healthy blend of both on between the two nights. And I just think you put all the good wrestling on night one, and night two is kind of like pretty much all filler, except for Edge and AJ Styles and Roman and Brock. I mean,
yeah, it does seem to feel like there's some filler there now. You know, there's no question. There's some filler in here. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see if they can live up to that WrestleMania Night 1, because it was far better than I ever expected it to be. Now, we had a question coming in saying, did Edge resign or something? Because wasn't he only under contract to do 6 or 7 matches? Yeah, that's a valid point. I don't know. When Edge came back, I think they said he was going to do like 6 matches over the course of 2 years or something like that. He's already done like 5. And if you're going to start him in a new faction, I guess he must have worked out something. That's an excellent question. His match totals is up. And the same way with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is scheduled to do more stuff after this WrestleMania. He's not vanishing like we thought. So, I don't know. It looks like the WWE's kind of changed their mind on some of this and said, we're going to make sure we got our guys close to the bone. And also, I know a lot of people wanted our take on this Cody Rhodes thing. Is this the beginning of a trend of AEW stars coming to WWE or coming back to WWE because they followed Cody to AEW? Will they follow Cody aside from it? I don't know. I think it all depends. I mean, Cody Rhodes was the first person to say, I can do this on my own. I won't be used as a tool and blah, blah, blah. And now he comes back. And if he's used in a relatively good manner and he's making really good money, I suppose that same Cody Rhodes who said, follow me, could say, follow me to somebody else. I think it's got to be a little bit of a concern. Yeah. To Tony Khan, although Tony Khan has, you see, and Cody's being disingenuous because Cody says, the reason I left is because I felt like I fought everybody that was there to fight. Well, that's not true because Tony Khan signs people almost every week. So that's just patently untrue. That's not why Cody Rhodes left. I don't know why Cody Rhodes left exactly, but his
excuse is laughable. So I don't know, Mike, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think other people might follow Cody back?
Well, I mean, look, what's his name just left the WWE, so he's not going anywhere. Adam Cole, and so did the, and really they're still using Cat Wheeler and what's FTR, and what's his name? Miro's coming back after he films his TV show, so he's not going anywhere. So who else is left? I mean, yeah, they just signed Eric Redbeard, right? Which was what's his name? You know, they just signed him, and so he's not going anywhere. So who else is going to follow him? And you're right. The only thing that I can see that he didn't really they didn't really get a chance to do that was on the back burner for a while in AEW was the remember he had a deal with one of the first things that started MJF was the whole thing with Cody Rhodes at the time.
Yes.
You know, and they never really got around to finishing that feud.
That's very true, and I think that what most fans are thinking is perhaps Chris Jericho, perhaps Dean Ambrose or Jon Moxley, and perhaps when his contract is up, MJF. Now, there was some rumor that MJF and Tony Khan got into it about MJF doing a shoot interview without his permission, and that they resolved it, but it was a little bit heated. See, this is what I warned everybody about the AEW fans when Tony Khan said, you're going to be free to do whatever you want, and no one's going to put any restrictions on you. And if you want to go work for this company or that company, and you want to go do indies and you want to do this, the door is always open. I told you that was bullshit. I told you you can't run a company like that, and I told you he's flat-out lying, because if he's trying to do that, he is going to fail beyond failure, because all of these wrestlers are going to get hurt in some small promotion somewhere trying to make some side cash. They're going to get caught up in some whatever. It's not going to happen. And now you're seeing that I'm right. He's not allowing this. And it's now getting to the point where he's like, if you're going to do an interview, you have to have my permission. And some of the wrestlers are saying, yeah, that's not what you said, though, when we signed up. When you signed up, it was all about the wrestlers can do what they want, and I'm just going to be the guy that, you know, the money guy, and you guys can kind of run it. And then Cody Rhodes found out, well, no. Tony Khan's doing all the booking. I'm off the booking. And suddenly you've got to ask permission to do interviews, and you're being turned down when you say, I'm going to want to go work for this promotion for a couple of weeks. No. Here we go. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. But this is WrestleMania weekend, so let's just stick with this and say this. If somehow night two can outdo night one, As glorious as WrestleMania 3 is, you know, and that's always thought of as the gold standard, and probably always will be because of Andre and Hogan and, of course, Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage, I would argue this is the best WrestleMania in many, 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 many years, but it has to live up to what Night 1 did. If I can come on this show tomorrow and tell you Night 1 was, or Night 2 was just as good as Night 1, this has got to be one of the best WrestleManias in the past 10 or 15 years, Mike, because that would mean they're both A shows.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing. And for that to be the case, we're going to have a surprising outing from the women's tag team match. We're going to have to get what we're expecting from AJ and Edge, and we're going to have to get a surprise out of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that is 1,000% correct. You hit the nail on the head. That is extraordinarily insightful. That's exactly what you have to do. If you're going to top this, the people in the mid-card and the bottom of the card got to step up, and the main eventers really got to step up. Now, I have all the faith in the world in Edge and AJ Styles. If this is less than an A match, I will be sorely disappointed. But I have my doubts on the rest. I'm sorry, I do. I have my doubts on the rest. I think Brock and Roman will be okay because it's such a big hyped match. But I don't want just the hype. I want it to deliver. And I hope against hope it does. I'll tell you something else you got to have tonight. And I hope they've saved it. There's got to be a surprise of some kind. And I don't mean an ending we don't suspect. I mean maybe a return or something big that you say, holy crap, to. And I can't imagine what it would be, Tom, but they've got an awful big shoes to fill.
Yeah, they really do. And if there's a surprise tonight, it wouldn't shock me. But I think, honestly, to be honest with you, my lock of – if I had to pick the lock of the pay-per-view, is something that's going to – with Lashley, Omos, and MVP. That's going to give the fans something to kind of sink their teeth into and ask themselves, where does it go?
Yeah, I think that's a good part of it. We'll see what happens, Todd. What do you think? You think they can outdo last night, or you think this is going to fall flat?
Well, like you said, I hope it will do good, like, as of last night, but by the looks of it, it kind of looks like it's weak.
It does look a little weak. I think Mike hit the nail on the head, Mike, when you said that everyone's got to step up here tonight, not just the guys you expect.
Absolutely. And another thing that could happen, probably should, is I know there are two wrestlers that are ready to come back from injuries that we didn't see either one of them on night one, but one of them could show up on night two and cost somebody a championship, and that would be Bayley.
Yeah, Bayley had some signs in the audience I saw last night, which means that maybe some people thought she was around WrestleMania weekend or maybe she was going to interfere. Asuka, too. We'll see what happens, if there's any surprises. We'll be back here noon tomorrow to talk about it. Thanks for listening, and enjoy night two. She's got the red, white,